Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, just whenever I finish a book I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. And today I'm going to be reviewing a book called The Girl with All the Gifts by M.R. Carey, who is an author I don't know anything about. And in fact, I didn't know anything about this book before I started reading it. The reason I started reading this was because I was looking for books to read, so I went over to the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com and looked back through and tried to find the last book that more than one person had recommended, which I hadn't yet read. So this was the book that I found, and someone said, oh, I'd be really interested to see what you think of this book. So I checked it out, and it was there on Audible. And so I just downloaded it straight away. I didn't look at any of the blurb about it, didn't know what genre it was, except that it was probably going to be either science fiction or fantasy, and that's kind of what I got. It's not fantasy at all, it is science fiction. And I just went into this book not knowing anything about it, except there's this little girl on the front cover who's kind of like got a little dress on and she's got her arms wide open. Girl with all the gifts. I was like, oh, how is she gifted? Is she gifted, with psychic powers, or is she gifted with money, or is she gifted with... There's all kinds of gifts that she could have. And that's kind of how the book starts off. It starts off with this little girl called... 10-year-old girl called Melanie, and... She is at a school, but it's a very kind of weird kind of classroom at the school, because she's kind of in this Hannibal Lecter kind of get-up where, you know, you put on the face mask, you put on the these handcuffs behind your back, and your handcuffs are strapped to the arms of a chair, and then the chair is wheeled by some soldiers who come in and wheel you from the room into the classroom. And Melanie is saying, why do I have to do this? I'm not going to bite. And I say it as a joke, but then they're not laughing. And why am I all wrapped up? And why have I got this muzzle on me and this face mask? And why are my hands pinned down? And then we're all sitting in a classroom being taught different stuff. And then some of the children disappear. And where did the children disappear? And it's all kind of meant to be very mysterious. It's, but I don't think it's, maybe it's a little bit of a spoiler to say that it turns out this is a zombie apocalypse story, but it's told from the point of view of after the zombie apocalypse, some children zombies have been found who haven't, like, they're not brain dead. It's not like, oh, brains. All the other kind of zombies, or hungries, as they're called in this book, have got a very certain kind of way that all their human intelligence disappears and they just come eaty, bitey machines. But some of these children seem to keep some... or retain some human brain activity with human level intelligence human child level intelligence. And Melanie is one of those, and she's in a classroom with others. And that's pretty much what the first section of this book is about. Melanie and her teacher, who... Actually, I made some notes here. Let me go across to the notes that I made. Yeah, so there's Miss Justineau is a teacher who's all that... Like, she's the perfect teacher. And Melanie is like, oh, Miss Justineau, you're so beautiful, and you're the best kind of teacher, and I love you, and I just want to be close to you, and you're going to stroke me, but you shouldn't stroke me because, Justineau is like, oh, I can't believe you stroked her, and other people go, no, you can't touch these kids, they'll bite you, and you'll be infected and stuff too. So there's that kind of setup. And then there's Dr. Caldwell, who is a doctor who is studying this kind of stuff, and Sergeant Parks, who is like the leader of this compound and this bunker where these kids are kept. And there's a few other characters as well, but mostly it's kind of Melanie, Miss Justineau, Dr. Caldwell, Sergeant Parks, who's kind of in charge militarily, and now there's another character who I've forgotten his name, a young soldier who comes along here. So, young, hungry zombie girl. And the book starts off, and I was really, really digging this. I was really, really enjoying this. This is kind of a book where I was going, oh, okay, this is going to be like that, or this is going to be like this. And it's really interesting because they're studying the kids, and the kids don't quite understand what's going on with them. Or maybe they do, or they kind of get glimpses into what's going on here. And if the story had just stayed in this compound with this kind of really delightful, interesting story where, you know, there's these, you know, tensions between the adults and their, you know, and what should be, you know, are these really children or are these specimens? All these different kind of questions that come up with Miss Justin, you're thinking, no, they are children who happen to be ill and with a disability. Whereas Dr. Caldwell is like, no, these are specimens who should be treated as such. And if I need to cut them open and study their brains or whatever, I should be able to do that because they're just specimens. And there's kind of that quandary going on. Meanwhile, Sergeant Parks is like, well, these kids are monsters and there's lots of monsters outside and I'm the one who captured these monsters anyway. And there's interesting stuff going on. So that's kind of what I was hoping the book would be about, a story of this little girl. I noticed that it was listed on Goodreads when I marked it as I'm reading it. It's called Girl with All the Gifts number one. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. Maybe we'll see more of the wider world once we get through with the story at this compound. However, there was this really clunky foreshadowing through all of this. You know, there was this, like I say, this extra character, like there's this one other soldier who is named, and I was like, well, he's going to be the soldier who we're going to follow later, and that's going to be the important soldier later on, and it's like, oh, and they spotted this thing here, and they met these things outside the fence, and I was like, oh, that's going to be important. Oh, and then I noticed something else outside the fence, and I was like, oh, that's not very interesting either. And then Melanie wants to be called Pandora. She's like, oh, why should I be called Melanie? Why can't I be called Pandora? Because Pandora is my kind of name. Pandora opened a box and let bad stuff into the world. And I'm like, look, this is, and there's so many steps along this way. And I was just thinking, oh, this is going to, it's all going to go down. And then this slow motion car crash of the story of, like, these three different plot, like story things coming together in a way which is totally coincidental. I was thinking, oh, maybe it's not going to just be a coincidence that this is going to be the way that this character is going to go there and then this character. But it is, it's a complete coincidence. And this kicks off, like, actually what the main story becomes. And it becomes then a pretty standard post-apocalyptic, post-zombie apocalypse story. To the fact that I was just thinking, okay, this is, like, I'm just reading extracts from 28 Days Later. Although this is many years, it's like a, not like a 28 Days Later or 28 Weeks Later, it's more of a 28 Years Later kind of thing, where London has been abandoned, and it's like, okay, I've read this, like, this is the Day of the Triffids, and because we talked about before on the podcast that 28 Days Later is the best movie adaptation of Day of the Triffids, it's kind of a very similar storyline with similar, like, cast members, or similar characters within the story, and similar storylines and similar events that happen along through it. A lot of this book felt very, very familiar if you've ever seen 28 Days Later or other zombie movies, and especially Dave the Triffids, and to the point where, like, and then where they're wandering through London and London is abandoned and they have to go down this way and this is blocked and there's zombies blocking this way, so they have to go through the tunnel and go past here, and it's like very, it becomes very standard zombie post-apocalypse. However, the characters that you're with are interesting. But it was like, I wish I'd have just spent more time with these in this interesting post-apocalyptic compound where these are being, they're studying zombie children. But it doesn't, it kind of leaves off all of that. And you get, like, the Hungers, which are the zombies. And then you get the Junkers, which are kind of like the Mad Max kind of people driving around, like the smokers from Waterworld. This whole guy is in, you know, with covered up and, you know, with flamethrowers and guns and all that kind of stuff, and I was just like, yeah, but I've seen all of this kind of stuff before. It didn't really feel new for me. However, it was kind of saved by the characters and the story that the characters go on, or the interactions between the adults and this little zombie girl who is tagging along with them, and the stories that the characters go on, I think, is kind of more of the interesting things and what they find out in the world. But yeah, and what happens along the way, I don't need to get into too many details because there's too many spoilers. And then at the end, it was like, it's an interesting ending to the book, and I was pleased that that's where the ending was, because I think if it was anything less than that, it would have, you know, it would have been a bit of a cop-out. However, I saw the ending coming around about a quarter to a third of the way through the book. And then again, this really heavy foreshadowing all the way through just made me think, oh, right, this is going to turn up, then they're going to do this, then they're going to use that to do this, and then that's how the book is going to end. And literally, like, step by step, as I was thinking it was going to happen, it kind of happened. And it's well written, and the characters are interesting, and it's, you know, it's actually quite funny in a lot of places. But yeah, it just felt, it didn't live up to the promise of the early section of the book. And then as it went through, it just felt a little bit too predictable. So I don't really have very much else to say. I mean, this is probably going to be one of the shortest podcast episodes for a long time because I'm not really a huge fan of zombie apocalypse. And this book just isn't substantial enough to add anything much to the zombie post-apocalypse kind of story as I would, you know, as I would want it to do. You know, if you've read, Legend? What's the one called? I Am Legend and Day of the Triffids and Scene 28 Days Later. Again, it's like not really much else to add to it. Although I did actually just look at some other people's reviews and it's sort of like saying, oh, you think zombies are all played out, but here's someone bringing something more to the story. And I'm like, really? What did they bring more? Except that it is a child zombie. And I do think that's kind of interesting. And there is some interesting stuff going on with the child zombie. But I've read kind of like child vampire stuff before and you're like, oh, you've got immortality, but it's all this thing. And then you never grow up, or do you grow up, or all that kind of stuff. And some of the science fictional aspects of this aren't exactly clear, but there is a lot of interesting world building, and like I say, the characters, the journeys that they go on is interesting. However, the overall plot, again, disappointing, and never felt like anything surprising was happening. So, I don't really have very much else to say about it. I guess I could look at what other people said about it. Timothy Ward, who's a listener to the podcast, rated it 5 stars. I assume this wasn't my kind of book. I don't know what I thought it was, but with a girl with her arms stretched out didn't tell me enough to excite me. Yeah, I mentioned the same thing there before. Then the reviews started popping up on Goodreads, all 5 stars, and gushing over how exciting, surprising, and fresh the story was. Again, that's literally the opposite of what I wanted, but Timothy gave it 5 stars, and I'm not giving it 5 stars, because it was exciting, but it was not surprising and not very fresh at all. Michael rated it 4 stars, Tudor rated it 5 stars, lots of people have rated this book, so I think I'm coming quite late to it here. Ryan rated it 3 stars. Pedro Marroquin rated it 5 stars. Possiblemente el mayor libro de zombies que leído junto a Feed. Anyway, I guess that's not a language I understand. But yes, Ludo rated it 3 stars. Anyway, I don't just want to go back through these. Oh, here's R, who is a listener to the podcast. Good start. Terrible ending, except it was non-standard and cuts off chances for a sequel. IO9 review failed. They gushed. I think there is actually ways that there could be sequels to it. This is, of course, The Girl with the Gifts, number one. Let's look up who Mr. Carey is. M.R. Carey. Mike Carey is an acclaimed writer of Lucifer and Hellblazer, now filmed as Constantine. He recently completed a comics adaptation of Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere. Oh, so he's a comics writer. This is his, his first book. So, comic book writer taking a stab at zombie post-apocalypse stuff. And, yes, a mildly interesting take. So I'm going to give it 3 stars. There's nothing bad about this book. It just didn't grab me in the way that I would hope a book could grab me. A post-apocalyptic zombie story could grab me. That's it. You can follow me on Goodreads or become my friends on Goodreads, and I too can see what you think of these books. This has got a 3.93 rating overall on Goodreads, so it's pretty well reviewed book. You can follow along with me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there. You can follow me on Instagram and see my juggling videos and other travel stuff that I post there. I'm Luke Burridge. And also on YouTube, you can check out all my adventures via my vlog on YouTube too. I'm Luke Burridge. That's the channel name. You can email me, luke@juggler.net. I do reply to every email that I get asking me questions. And if you've got a book that you would like me to review, you could submit it via, not if you're an author or a publisher, a book like someone else has written and someone else has published, you can email me luke@juggler.net or check out the goodreads.com SFBRP listener group and check it out there. So, also, this book was an audiobook, and it was about 14 hours long or something, and it was very good. Do I still have the audiobook here? Can I now see who the narrator was? Because I actually really like the narrator on this one, because it's narrated by Finty Williams, and she's very good. This is a book all set in London and north of London and around London, and it's good to have a kind of, you know, Day of the Triffids style, post-apocalypse stuff, but it's narrated by Fintie Williams, and she's got a great English accent, and a very good performance overall by Fintie Williams. So I would suggest, I would definitely recommend this as an audiobook if you want to check it out. Although, like I say, 3 stars for me, but 5 stars for a lot of the other people. So I think that's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.